VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, just before we get to our guest and topic today, every day you hear a voice that introduces Crosstalk. That voice that you just heard belongs to Gordon Morris, who served for many, many years as operations manager at VCY America until his retirement in 2017. Well, this morning we were informed that this past Monday, Gordon Morris went home to be with the Lord. We're going to be sharing more on our morning program later this week on Friday, but we encourage you to be praying for his wife, Carol, and who is also a former staff member here at VCY, and be praying for their family. Indeed, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope, because we know with confidence that Gordon Morris is with the Lord. Well, turning to our topic today, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We know the Bereans were commended in Acts 17:11 for not only receiving the word with readiness of mind, but they also searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Did what they hear line up with scripture itself, and they studied the scriptures accordingly. Indeed, we are to be students of the Word of God. I mean, how else will we be alert to false teaching if we don't know what the truth is? Did you know that the Bible is its own best commentary? So to truly understand what the Bible teaches about a subject, we must consult all of what the Bible itself says about it. And we are here today to make you aware of a resource available to help you do just that. It's called the New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. The editor of this 1,500-page-plus volume, now revised and expanded, is with us today. And on Crosstalk, we'd like to welcome Jerome Smith. He is one who is passionate about teaching believers to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. He is editor of Nelson's Cross-Reference Guide to the Bible and the newly revised and expanded and reprinted book, The New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Jerry, welcome here to Crosstalk.
And thank you so much for inviting me. We sure appreciate it.
Well,
it's a privilege.
Indeed. Well, Jerry, I'm first of all going to have you tell us about your background, what brought you to salvation in Jesus Christ, and what developed your interest in Bible study.
Well, years ago, I was in the Cub Scouts and then the Boy Scouts, and a neighbor that lived kind of kitty corner across from our home in Detroit asked me to be her den chief. That was a Boy Scout that would help out with a Cub Scout den, they called them in those days. And then she asked me to do some babysitting for her. And when I was there at her home, she had some Bibles on a bookcase, and I looked in them while I was babysitting. And one of them had a center column in it, which I had never seen a Bible to that point that had anything like that in it. And it had cross-references in it.
Hmm.
So this was even before I became saved, so I knew what they were. Then I attended Highland Park Baptist Church from the time my parents could carry me there as an infant. And when I was in high school, I had two teachers. One of them was Dean Sauden, and the other one is very famous, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head at the moment. But anyway, they used to see us in a circle and ask us Bible questions every Sunday for Sunday school. And I always prayed that they wouldn't quite get to me that Sunday because I didn't know much of anything about the Bible. I couldn't answer those questions. Well, in the summer of 1953, I was on vacation with my parents to visit my grandmother in Belfield, North Dakota, and my brother found a little New Testament that belonged to my Aunt Norma that she had won as a prize back in the early, probably 1930s, I would guess, as a Sunday school child. And my brother let me have it, and I thought, boy, I'll be ready when we get back to Sunday school. I'm going to start reading this.
Wow, wow.
And so that was August of 1953. And while I was delivering what's called the Detroit Shopping News, it was like an advertising circular, I realized when I crossed in the middle of the street, middle of the block on Lumpkin Street in Detroit, that, boy, you know, despite all the church I've been to, I never personally received Christ as my Savior. So I stopped right there under an oak tree that was in the front yard of the next house. I was going to toss the paper up on the porch and just prayed and asked the Lord to forgive my sins and committed myself to Him. And I started whistling a little gospel tune. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And He's been with me ever since.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. So seeing that Bible, and you didn't want to be shown up as not having answers to Bible questions, and so you started reading the Bible, and is that really what piqued your interest in Bible study itself?
Yes, and I would say that I was very, very highly motivated because Mrs. Cole, the den mother, invited me to attend the youth group that was at her church, which was only two blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
Highland Park Baptist was about 4 miles away from where my home was in Detroit. And so it was easier to attend the youth group there at the Methodist church. And about the second Sunday I was there, the Lord left all the smart kids home, and I won a contest that they had for a Bible quiz. Then I had to represent that Methodist youth group at a contest, citywide contest, held in the Detroit Institute of Arts with a group called the Holiness Youth Crusade, and the winner was to get a Bulova watch. Well, that contest was to be held on November 7th, 1953, and I read the New Testament all the way through again, and for a total of about 2.5 times.
Right.
And on November 7th, that very Saturday, that's when I accepted the Lord while delivering papers.
Yeah, amazing. And I think the name you were trying to think of before is Dr. Lehman Strauss.
He was the pastor, but
okay.
I can't think of other teacher's name. His first name was John, and he was the president of the Christian Businessmen's Association for the whole country.
Wow. Well, tremendous. We're talking here today with Jerome Smith, and I'm confident that there are many listening right now that have never heard of the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge that first appeared in 1836. I mean, that's 187 years ago. To those who have never seen it, just describe what that original edition was like.
Well, it was, at least it was portable.
Okay.
And I bought one in 1954, I think, maybe. Well, at least I learned about it in 1954 and was finally able to get one in 1955. And I began using it, and I studied it all the time, along with my Bible. And I underlined the verses in references as I had them, and I double underlined the clearest ones, and I used another color ink to mark where the mistakes were. And I listed the mistakes on the inside front cover.
Wow.
And I did that for quite a few years. And then I visited a bookstore up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they had said that it was Jay Green was the person in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in and said, I noticed in your paper that I had received that they were going to reprint the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And I said, before you do that, it'd be nice if all the errors that I found could be corrected in for the printing so it would be more accurate. And then I explained other things like where the work originated from and how it came to be put together and when. They said, Jerry, you know a whole lot about it, more about it than anybody here does. We'll put you in charge of developing a new work.
Wow.
Well, they went out of business before I finished what I was doing, but I figured the Lord will have a way to get it published.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just keep working on it.
Well, that's amazing. So you had this classic, and it was such a help to you, but as you're going through this, you say, hey, there is a mistake here, and there is a mistake there. You kept record of those, and that's really what got your interest involved and got you engaged in actually revising this?
Yes, and as I typed up a new copy for reference, I thought I might as well add some extra references in there that I've discovered over my years of studying to make it more helpful yet.
Yeah.
And I collected a number of works from Baker Book House used and from Craigle's Bookstore used back in those days. And one of them is a three-volume work called The Commentary Holy Biblical. And then I also was able to get two different sets of Scott's Bible where the cross-references originally came from. And then a very quaint bookstore in Detroit near what used to be Tiger Stadium in Corktown called Clay's Bookstore. That's how I always pronounced it. She had a copy of the Baxter's Comprehensive Bible and sold it to me for $10. And boy, that was a bargain, because that is the source of all the notes and references in the original Treasury.
My.
So I had those resources to check back with, and I also got copies of the ancient Bibles that Scott used to gather the references from in the first place. So if he miscopied it, I could look in one of those to see if the original source he was using had the same mistake or had it right.
This is amazing, because I look at the volume of that. This is over 1,500 pages, and this had to be an extremely massive undertaking. And I see that the new revised expanded edition came out in 1992, just reprinted this year of 2023. This was far from an overnight project. When did you begin? How many years did it take to do this?
Well, I actually started working on it back about 1965 or 66.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking some of my high school students from my Sunday school class up to a camp in Muskegon, Michigan. And that's when I stopped in to see Jay Green at his bookstore.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
On the way up there. So.
And you completed it when?
Well, I had it basically complete about 1989, 88.
Okay.
I found, because I was off school, because having been shot in the back of the head.
I'm going to have you tell us that story, because you engaged on this project, and this very tragic occurrence happened March 13th, 1986. And you said you were shot in the head. What happened?
Yeah, I was on my way into school. I had just finished listening to a Christian program, the Southwest Radio Bible Church, I think it was called back in those days. And the program went off at about 7:15 in the morning. So I was getting out of my car, and there was a vehicle. I figured it was just some service people there to work on something at the school. They were parked on the right of my little Volkswagen, and then they backed up and parked on my left. Well, I didn't pay him any attention. I just got out of my little VW with my heavy briefcase and walked across the muddy parking lot, teacher's parking lot at the back of Southeastern High School. And when I got almost all the way across, this guy had been calling to me, stop.
And tell you what, I'm going to have to stop right now, Jerry, because we're up against a break. Friends, don't go away. You've got to hear this story. You've got to hear the story of what happened. Here he is working on this revised edition of this book. And what's about to happen here, friends, absolutely amazing. You got to stay with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, do creationists say that the biblical flood laid down all the fossils?
No, we don't, Chris. Now, we do think that the flood of Noah's day is responsible for most of the fossils in geologic strata, but certainly not all. We talk about a time of residual catastrophism after the flood, which included the Ice Age. During this time, a lot of fossils were formed. Ice Age fossils would typically lie on top of the flood fossils, which came earlier. Now, of course, there are some fossils being formed today in minor catastrophes, minor floods, minor tsunamis. But these are of local extent, not like the fossils in strata from the flood. Chris, the biblical story of Noah's flood is absolutely essential for a full creation understanding. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're talking with Jerome Smith. He's passionate about teaching believers to use Scripture, to interpret Scripture. He is the editor of the newly revised and expanded The New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, right now telling us the story on how this came about, his passion for studying the Scriptures. And some of you Sunday school teachers who are listening right now, that you give that award, that prize award, a New Testament or a Bible to one of the students, and you wonder whatever happened to it. Well, Jerry is one who picked it up off his aunt's shelf, and it's transformed his life. And right now, talking about his passion for putting together this massive 1,500-page work, and he was in the midst and going to school, and you were getting out of your little VW and walking, and Jerry, all of a sudden you heard the word stop. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was a gentleman, quote-unquote, who stepped beside me and showed me he had a gun in his hand. And I decided I would just keep going because I would be in sight of the basement windows of the ROTC class and they could see what was going on. And he shot me point-blank range in the back of the head, and it knocked me over and knocked me out into the mud of the parking lot, broke my glasses, and made my ears ring, I'll tell you that. But I came to right away, and then he said he wanted my wallet. Well, I wasn't going to give him my wallet. I said, no, thank you.
My.
And so I gave him the money that I had. It was only $33. And he says, is that all you teachers carry? And just then, the electronics teacher was walking to school as he normally did. And he saw what was going on, and I shouted to him, and I said, I've been shot. And then the drafting teacher, he was just driving into the parking lot, and the electronics teacher jumped into his car, and they followed the criminal and got the license number of the vehicle. But it turned out it was a stolen vehicle, and they never did find out who did it. But in the meantime, I had gotten up to the office, and the athletic director, George, I can't think of his last name at the moment, he said, what happened to you? I said, I've been shot in the back of the head. And he said, boy, he says, you're bleeding bad. And he got some paper towel and all that, and they got soaked, and he called the ambulance. And then he called my wife, and she was on the phone because something wasn't working on the washing machine or dryer, the dryer, and she was talking to someone who would fix it, and the operator broke in and said, you've got an emergency call, please hold on and answer. And so it was a strange day, let me tell you.
God's grace at work. So, Jerry, how far were you in the process of editing this book when that tragic shooting happened in 1986?
I had typed as far as 1 Samuel chapter 3, which represents about 20% of the way through. And so, but anyway, I got to tell you a little bit more. The athletic director and the physics teacher carried me literally down the stairs and into the back of the ambulance. And as that happened, the students were jeering and mocking. And they had given me a hard time at that school. They had a name, which I won't repeat, that they always called me instead of my proper name, and they just were terrible. The school was out of control. There were more students in the hallways than there were in the classrooms. Now, my students in my classes loved my teaching, and they loved me, and they appreciated what I was doing for them. In fact, the principal called me into his office one morning, and he said, Mr. Smith, I've got to show you my principal's notes that just came out. And Mr. Wordlaw showed me, and he says, Southeastern is the most improved high school out of Detroit's 22 high schools in the whole city of Detroit. And he said, we did some research and figured out who did it, and you did it.
Wow. What an acclamation, you know, to what you had done and at the school, and really that's your commitment to study and reading and researching, and that impacting that to the students.
Yep, I had written my own language enrichment program, I call it. Now it's available on Amazon for people who need to learn to read better. It works for anybody.
Wow.
And I mean, it really does work.
Wow, tremendous.
Because that's what I used in my classes. What happened when I started teaching at Southeastern, the department had a real wonderful man. His name is Mr. Mercer. He gave me a box of books, and he said, Jerry, I hate to tell you, but this is all the books we have. And I had five classes of 35 students, and I had eight textbooks.
Nice.
And they were not all the same title.
Mm-hmm.
So I had, he said, do whatever you can, Mr. Smith. I said, well, can I use my own material and use my reading program? He said, anything you can do to help these students, just go ahead and do it.
My. And you did it.
That was a good department.
Amen. Amen. And you did it.
Yep.
Well, as we circle back here to the Nelson's Cross Reference Guide to the Bible, I mean, a very massive work. You've revised and expanded it. You told us some of the processes you went through, but you indicate that the most significant feature of this treasury is that it is nearly exhaustive collection of cross references. Comment on that.
Yes, it's got thousands and thousands of references. I never did figure out exactly how many cross-references are in the new treasury, but I added 100,000 new references that weren't in it before.
Wow. That you added 100,000 to the references that already existed there.
Yeah. And I corrected 4,000 places where they had made unjustified changes from what Scott had placed in the margins of his commentary.
Hmm.
And hundreds of corrections that I had found over the years and during the process of expanding it. So it is about the most correct edition of those references that has ever been published. And now that Nelson has reprinted it, they contacted me, I think, very early last year, and I spent probably 6 weeks or more adding in all the corrections that I have found since 1992.
My, it was published.
Now, and that amounted to several hundred. And they, with the computer resources they were using, found some problems between the figure of speech index and some of the other ones with the content, which I couldn't catch when I was using 5 1/4-inch floppy disks on an Apple II Plus computer back in the 1980s.
Yes, I remember those. And that's amazing. And friends, I want you to understand our guest today is 86 years old. And just within just the last couple of years had done, you know, this actual extra work here to see, get this ready for its reprint here in 2023. And what an impact he's making upon, you know, the study of God's Word by putting this all together. Jerry, what is the difference? You use the term cross-reference, and I've seen that there are other things called a chain reference. What's the difference between a cross-reference and a chain reference?
That's a very good question and very, very important. The chain references are used in such a work as Thompson, Thompson,
yep,
Chain Reference,
mm-hmm,
Bible. I have one right here on my table, right under the Nelson's Cross Reference Guide to the Bible. And before that, on my shelf here, I have several other Bibles that use the same process. Now, Thompson claims that they have a copyright on that, but if I were an attorney, I could lick them in court and hurry. Because, and by the way, that physics teacher that I talked about that carried me to the ambulance, we had a debate about evolution with the science department, and mm-hmm, he said, Jerry, you should have been an attorney.
Wow.
He was an attorney.
Sure, sure. No,
but anyway, I've got several Bibles right here. The one is called the Mark Reference Bible, and I've got several others, mm-hmm, that preceded the publication of the Thompson Chain Reference. But to answer your question, a chain reference will start. Let's say you wanted to know about messianic prophecy. Well, the first one's in Genesis 3:15. So if you turn in Thompson's Chain Reference Bible to that passage, it will show in the margin where the next reference that has that pertains to messianic prophecy is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back in the back section of the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it'll have a place where it lists all those references together. And I forget how many there are, but there may be like 76 or some number like that.
So in the Thompson Chain, we'll get one reference, but I just opened up your new treasury here to Genesis 3:15, and I'm seeing lots and lots and lots of references.
Yeah, there's more references by far, and that's why the new treasury is so valuable. It will expand the usefulness of any other study aid you have, whether it's another study Bible, whether it's the Thompson Chain reference, it doesn't matter, anything. It will give more references than any other sources you can find.
So the feature then of this cross-reference, really, that's where the Bible actually is commentary on itself then, correct?
Yes, and it's the best commentary you can have.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need in this country, and people need to have this book, I'm not saying it because I want to make a royalty or something. I don't care about the royalty. That's no concern to me. What's concerned to me is that we have a need to have a revival of real Bible study going on.
Amen.
That is what would correct what's wrong in the nation. I've got a little quotation that came from M.R. DeHaan's little magazine that was published years ago, but the quotation says, "No revival is more to be desired than that of systematic, personal Bible study." And that's what we need, because if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to read the Bible, and you've got to actually do more than read it. You've got to study it. You can't just depend on what you learn in Sunday school and from your pastor's messages. Those are wonderful, but that's just a start. If you have the new treasury of Scripture knowledge and your pastor preaches on a text, guess what? You could go home after the message, and at some point on Sunday afternoon or evening, open up the new treasury of Scripture knowledge and dig into the verses that he shared with you, and you'll gain so much more from the message the pastor gave.
Indeed, and friends, this would be a good time. I've got more questions I'm going to ask of our guests, but this book here, the treasury of the new treasury of Scripture knowledge, and this is the expanded, revised, and expanded edition. It is being featured as a book of the month through our VCY bookstore. I mean, this is a massive hardback volume. It's over 1,500 pages. The publisher just released it in 2023. They're already in reprinting. They released it at a price of $49.99. However, our bookstore worked out a special arrangement with the publisher, and during this month of April, they are featuring this book as a book of the month. And so through April 30th, and that date's getting close to us, through April 30th, our VCY bookstore is offering this 1,500-page hardback volume at 51% off, just $24.50 plus any applicable tax or shipping. It's available on the website, vcy.com. VCY.com. You can reach out to them by phone between now and 6 p.m. Central Time, weekdays, 10 to 4 on Saturday. Here is a number to call. It's 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. For those in the area, it's at 107th and Capitol Drive in Southeast Wisconsin, Milwaukee. But you can reach out to them by phone. Again, their website, that'll be the quickest way. They've got a single line going in there, so you'll get delayed on the phone. But go to vcy.com or wait a bit and call that toll-free number, 1-888-722-4829. We've got more to unfold regarding this special book after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, we know that we talk about so many issues here on Crosstalk. We know the hope of this world is Jesus, and we need to learn of him. We need to read his word. Search the scriptures daily, we're told in the Bible, and certainly we find, sadly, the vast majority of people have never read through the scriptures before, and this is a book to help get you engaged. What is this scripture saying? And you're not finding man's commentary throughout this. You're going to see scripture interpreting scripture. Matter of fact, as we're speaking today with Jerome Smith, the author, or the editor of this book, Jerry, you indicate that the Savior discussed scripture in this way, as did the Apostle Paul, to expound and explain the Bible. You call it a scriptural method of Bible study, right?
That's right. And that's something a lot of pastors might not be fully aware of. There is a feature throughout the New Testament where the writers of the Gospels and so forth use what are called composite quotations. This means that they combined several scriptures that they had in mind and quoted them together. So it shows you that they searched the scriptures and they knew what they said and they knew what verses related to each other and they used them. Jesus did that somewhere about Luke 4:18, as I recall. And it's an important principle. It's a biblical principle. And a lot of people have gotten away from it. And my concern is that there are many passages in scripture that says we ought to be hungry for God's word, that we ought to study it daily, just as you quoted from Acts 17:11.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Job said that he desired God's word more than his necessary food, if I remember correctly. And all through scripture, you've got statements like that.
Yeah,
and Jesus warned some of those who asked him some questions, and Jesus was sometimes controversial, by the way. If you look in Mark chapter 12, he tells them that they were in great error because they didn't know the scriptures or the power of God. And our problem with so many Christian people that I wish they would wake up and realize that if you are not spiritually hungry, you better ask yourself, am I spiritually dead? Because over in 1 Peter, I think it is, 2:2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it starts out, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Well, you know that babies will start howling quite a bit if they don't get their milk at the right time. And so just like they desire milk, we should desire God's word. And we need to get in the habit of having a revival of Bible study and Bible reading. And if we would do that and get a resource like this and share it with others, that would make a great big difference in the lives of those others as well as your own.
Indeed, friends. And you may want to encourage yourselves to consider getting multiple copies of this to share with others in your Bible study, small group, family members, a graduation coming up. What a gift for a graduating senior, whether it be high school or college. I mean, it is a book that's going to really transform their life in studying the scripture. There are times, Jerry, that we read a verse of scripture and not really know what that verse says. But when one looks at the cross references, we look up those cross references, the understanding becomes so much clearer, and that's exactly what you intended with this.
That's exactly right. Now, I've had a number of people concerned because they say, well, you put your own opinion in there. Well, guess what? I took the references from standard sources. I just mentioned one of the main ones, the Commentary Holy Biblical. But right opposite where I'm sitting here talking to you, I've got a whole bookcase filled with those sources and references.
Mm-hmm.
And this bookcase has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shelves on it. And each shelf is about 3 feet long.
Mm.
So you realize I didn't just totally invent them off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I designed the new treasury also to not be a generic study tool, because most publishers, unfortunately and necessarily, have to be careful about what they place in their material. They don't want it to be too controversial or they might offend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't regard that. I consider the truth of what God's Word teaches more important than my personal thoughts about it.
Yeah.
And if there's a controversial issue, I place the evidence on each side that I could learn as fully and completely and honestly as I could from the sources that claim those positions. And so you'll find as you study it that it's not one-sided, it's many-sided. And I have studied more resources that think differently than I do than the ones that agree with me, because when I was in high school, I also won the debate at Cass Technical High School, where I was a student the year I was a senior for the entire southeastern Michigan. We were the debate team that won. My debate partner got a scholarship to college. I think it was in one of the high-powered eastern schools. I forget now. Princeton, I think it was. And I didn't get anything.
Sure,
but
sure.
I helped win. And when I was a student at Bob Jones University, nobody knew who I was because I was quite shy and busy studying. I didn't socialize. And when I was in my senior year and won the men's senior championship, they said, "Who is that Jerry Smith?"
Very good. Well, friends, I'm going to open our phone lines as well. You may have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today. I've got many more questions, but our number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. And, Jerry, you indicate that this is really designed for the ordinary Bible reader. It's just not for the pastor, not for the Bible teacher, though they will greatly be helped and benefit. But the layman can actually use this and understand Scripture.
That's right. When I was a teenager, just newly saved, I had a neighbor, Mrs. Vander. She passed away some years ago now. But she was a wonderful Christian lady, and she always invited me into her home, and she had two sources to work from. She had a Strong's Concordance, and she had a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Mm. And she studied those just day after day in and day out, and she would always answer my Bible questions. And I think of her, and I thought of her as I was typing it up, that I want people, ordinary housewives, ordinary husbands, ordinary people, ordinary teenagers, to be able to use this work without any problem and get to know God's Word better.
Yes, and folks, this book really is designed to be an essential companion to your Bible reading and study. With the Bible open, this next to it, no matter how much or how little one knows about the Bible, this is a tool that will help. And it is, again, available through our VCY bookstore. They've got it 51% off through April 30th, 2023. You can reach out to them at vcy.com, vcy.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. We're going to pick up a call here from Barbara in, Milo, Missouri? Hi, Barbara, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I'm wondering, does this book have the information like when God will destroy one-third of our earth? Whether it's, and how to reference it, like if it's tribulation or pre-tribulation.
Okay, so she's referring to passages in the book of Revelation in particular. How would you respond to that, Jerry?
There's a passage that she's thinking of, perhaps it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, about verse 10 and 13, as well as some in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And I will say that the New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge has more help to the study of Bible prophecy than all the rest of the books in your Bible that you might, in your bookshelf that you can buy from any place.
Hmm. So
I have made a long study at the recommendation of one of my college professors at Bob Jones University. His name is Stuart Custer. He recommended, he said, don't buy a new coat, buy this set of three volumes. And he was referring to George N.H. Peters' volumes called The Theocratic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in the indexes to the New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge in the subject index under his name, you'll see that I have placed many, many notes based on what he has.
Sure.
And any prophetic scholar that thinks they know something and that has not studied that resource first, better think again.
So somebody would not find necessarily a timeline in this book, the New Scripture Knowledge book, correct?
No, but they will absolutely find at the verse they're concerned with more information than you will find in a combination of as many commentaries as you want to collect. I'll tell you a little secret so it won't be a secret. There's a extra long note at Isaiah 11:11 where I answer some of the higher critics and provide a 55-point outline of what the Bible teaches about the second coming of Christ based on Old Testament prophecy.
Wow, wow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Jesse calling in from Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Jesse, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. George Smith. I have a book I bought with my mother when she was still alive years ago. It was on, at a garage sale, and it's from... I'm looking in it right now. It says May of 1866, Norwich, Connecticut.
What's the book title?
That's on the preface, and I'm not sure what the title is, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, when I flip over the book, it's a hardcover.
Okay. Now, did you have a question here today for our guest?
I would be curious as to what your recommendations would be to research, and I'm also interested in buying your new reference that you're coming out with on vcy.com.
Okay. Well, since we don't know the title of that book, it's hard to comment on that book itself and probably have to open it up. If it's a hard black cover, you're going to have to look and see what the title of that book is and do some research there. But the book that our guest is edited here today is one that's going to really help you understand the scriptures better. And that should be the number one book, Jerry, that we do want to study.
Yes, that's right. And as I've said, any other study resource you have, this will amplify its effectiveness.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Joe in Racine, Wisconsin. Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm great. I'm grateful to have you guys. God bless you guys in Jesus' name. Hey, I have like a whole bunch of Bibles. You know, I listen to the radio and I say, hey, these guys, they want these Bibles to give away. But I got to hang on to them because I'm trying to look through four or five different Bibles to get the right. You know, to get the real word coming out of it. You know, some of the translations on, on some scriptures, like Matthew 18:19, is just really, really weak in some scriptures, you know?
Okay, well, thank you for raising that. So that's why your book is so helpful, Jerry, is to help an individual like this where they can look at the verse of scripture, have their Bible open, and then go to see all the references dealing with that particular passage.
That's right. This is actually the granddaddy of almost all the major study book Bibles of the past, revised and updated for today, and it will amplify anything else you have. And it can be used, by the way, with any English translation of the Bible or any other language as far as that goes, because the references will work whether you're reading in Spanish or German or Greek. It doesn't make any difference.
Sure. And the key words that you used is based upon the authorized version. But as you said, you look up the verse of scripture and, folks, you can read it. You got all the cross-references right there. 1,500-page volume. And Jerry has poured many years of his life into this book, now at age 86, recently revised this for reprinting. Stay with us after the break. We'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of this at 51% off. We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Google's CEO says he doesn't fully understand how new artificial program called Bard works. After it taught itself a foreign language, it was not trained to know. And then it cited a fake book or a collection of fake books to solve an economics problem. That was a headline at the Daily Mail. Here's the issue. How do we know that Satan won't use technology and artificial intelligence as a demonic platform? Do we see the merging of demonism and technology in the Bible? I think we do in Genesis chapter 10 and 11 in the Tower of Babel. I also think we see it clearly in Revelation 13, where you have an image set up in the temple, the tribulation temple, that speaks words of blasphemy. Many of the UFOs today that are cited, I believe, are indeed demons using so-called technology to deceive people. So be aware.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and ladies and gentlemen, I've truly never seen anything like this book before, and when a bookstore had it and they were offering it, I said, we've got to try and get the editor on with us here. Matter of fact, Dr. John MacArthur said, aside from the Bible, I value this book most in my studies. I mean, he has found great value in this book.
Yes, and of course, many other major Christian pastors and leaders and radio personalities have said the same.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And something else I want to point out before we go back to the calls is that you've got multiple indices in this book. There's a subject index, a prayer index, a Proverbs index, a name index with every name in the Bible and the passages with them, a figure of speech index, which is the most extensive of any that's ever been done before, ever produced in English, a topic number index. There is a lot in here.
Yep. I had a friend bring... missionary friend of his over to see the proof pages before it was published, and he looked at that and he said, Jerry, I could preach for 20 years just from your indexes alone.
Yeah, so true. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Ann calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I appreciate your program so much and your guest. I honor you with your everything that you've done with your life is an expose of how to be a Christian.
Hmm.
I wanted to ask you, there's a lot of debate in these times of eschatology and these end times about no one will know the day or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Did you discover anything? Did anything change in your mind? Or what is your point of reference on that?
It is true that we don't know the day or the hour, and we may not even know the year. You can't hardly predict it, but there are so many signs that are given, and if you study any passage that relates to those, it'll show you the rest of them. And if you remember, I mentioned a note that I put at Isaiah 11:11. There are other notes also, like in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 13, and all through Matthew chapter 24, and every place where Bible prophecy is given, there are notes and references more complete than you'll find any place else.
Yeah.
I personally believe in the pre-tribulation rapture position, but I have studied the other positions more than I have my own, and so the cross-references as they were originally put together by the scholars that Scott drew upon were mostly amillennial or various other positions, not premillennial. So as you study the scriptures, it will show the various options that there are. Seems to me I placed a note in Revelation chapter 4, probably in the first verse or so, that mentions the different options that there are in the study of Bible prophecy.
Great.
Quite thoroughly.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate the call. So, we don't know the day or the hour, but certainly we can see things coming to pass. Paul said in the last days, perilous times will come. We see what the outline there in 2 Timothy 3, all that's taking place today, and appreciate your call. We're going to move on to another caller, Mark in Ashland, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Jerry, I just want to know are you familiar with the Recovery Bible from Living Stream Ministry?
I have come across it, but I don't know if I own it or not.
Okay, so nothing else.
I have a collection here of Bibles. I think probably
but nothing you're able to comment on, though.
Yeah, different ones.
Yeah,
anyone can get a free recovery from BFA.org.
Very good. Thank you so much. Let's go to Don next in Rogers, Minnesota. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim. Could you ask Jerry two questions? And that is, what is the font size of his book? And also, is there any chance of his book becoming digitalized?
Okay. Thank you, Don.
That's two very good questions. I believe that the font size is 9, but it's a special font that's been newly designed, and I think it's used perhaps exclusively with Nelson Publications. and it is very clear.
Yeah, it's very clear. I've got a copy in front of me.
Yeah, I sometimes use a device called a dome magnifier to read the tiny print, and I can read tiny print without glasses usually because I'm nearsighted, but just the same, I like bigger print. By the way, this volume is digitized in its original form that I had published in 1992, and you can still get it from Nelson, and it's available on the Logos Bible software. Right now it's on sale for $8.99.
The digital. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And so I would get that where?
In the Logos Bible software.
Thank you so much for your call here today. Just 2 minutes remaining on the broadcast, and we so appreciate, Jerry, you coming on here today, and I just want to be sure I get this out. The publisher just produced this hardback edition, 1,500 pages, and at $49.99, which really is a good price for this book. Our bookstore is working with the publisher and for this hard copy of the book through April 30th, offering the book at 51% off, just $24.50, plus any applicable tax and or shipping. That's through April 30th, and it's available at vcy.com, vcy.com, or 1-888-722-4829. Jerry, we've got just a minute left. What would you like to leave with our listeners here?
Well, I would say please get the book and then use it, because it will help you in your spiritual growth, and share the news with others and help them get one too.
Right, and to use it, and you're not suggesting people pick up at page one and just read through this. Really, it's to go to the passage of Scripture they're studying and pick it up and look to that verse and chapter there.
That's right. You kind of have to use it in your actual Bible reading and study. If you have a favorite verse in the Bible that you like, maybe a life verse, start with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And check the cross-references, and you'll gradually get used to how it works and find it's essential in your Bible study.
Great. Well, Jerry, we so appreciate your coming on the program today and for the years that you put into this revised, expanded edition. And it's been a labor of love, but one that's going to motivate many to get into Bible study. And on behalf of all, thank you for doing so.
And thank you for having me on the program to share the news.
And Jerry, just stay on the line here, if you would. Jerome Smith, our guest here today. Very passionate about teaching believers to use Scripture to interpret Scripture, and it is the new treasury of Scripture knowledge, and it is available through April 30th at 51% off. You can reach out to the bookstore, vcy.com, or by calling, and if you get busy, just call them back, 1-888-722-4829. Search the Scriptures daily, we're told, in the Gospel of John, and we need to just do that as well, don't we? And as Scripture says, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.